Impact of Influence, the Murdoch Family Murders. This is the unfolding story of a powerful South Carolina family, the mysterious deaths they are linked to, and our quest to bring you the truth. Hello, friend. I am Matt Harris, Seton Tucker with me, and we are, as always, super grateful that you decided to spend some time with us. A lot of choices out there, and as we said in the last episode, the Murdoch thing is at least going to be winding down temporarily. Of course, we've been saying that for a couple of years now.
I just remember the first time we had Eric Bland on our podcast, him saying, you're going to be talking about this story forever, and it was pretty accurate.
Pretty accurate. So we are doing some Murdoch stuff in this episode. This is kind of just some loose ends, some litigation that's out there, some other things that are being charged. And then after this episode, we'll begin with some of the other things that we've been working on. You can reach out to us on Impact of Influence on Facebook. We're part of Evergreen Podcast Network. Also, please rate and share and follow the episode and check out the YouTube channel, Impact of Influence, which the easiest way to get through it is simply to go to our Impact of Influence Facebook page. All right, Ms. Seton, let's hit it. Let's start with the appeal.
Well, you said that there was some litigation. There's actually quite a lot of litigation surrounding Murdoch. And Thad Moore with the Post and Courier had a great article kind of outlining it. And I discovered even a few more active cases and one that has come up since. But the first one we should discuss is the Murdoch appeal to the murder conviction. After the evidentiary hearing, now that's his recourse to go through the state appeals process. And I think two of the things they'll be talking about in that is this Green Remmer, which one applies.
Justice Toll went with Green, which is South Carolina jury, deals with jury tampering. Remmer is the federal law, which would shift the burden from the state to the defense to state, depending which way they go. But so they're going to appeal that, and they're also going to appeal what they were going to appeal before even we heard about the jury tampering.
Right, because I think one of the things that they wanted to appeal on is the admission of the financial crimes, at least to the extent that they were admitted by Judge Newman.
Right, because there at one point when it all first started, it was supposed to be a very limited scope of the financial crimes, and it was like 2 days or something like that of financial crime testimony.
Right, and then we heard close to 2 weeks of it. So I think
that's true.
The defense contention is that hearing 2 weeks of testimony about the financial crimes really went to Alec's credibility, and how could anyone believe what he said after hearing 2 weeks of his testimony about what a terrible person and how he stole lots of money from people?
Because the argument it being that just because you are a financial criminal doesn't mean you're a double murderer.
Right.
So there's that. Then we got some drug things to deal with.
So we have Jerry K. Rivers, who was charged alongside Alec Murdoch for charges of money laundering, obstruction of justice, and distribution of controlled substances. Prosecutors allege that he sold opioid pills to Alec Murdoch. Now, he has pled guilty to these charges, and he is scheduled to be sentenced on February 12th in Hampton County.
I don't think anything huge is going to come out of that sentencing. I don't think that suddenly Jerry Rivers is going to be like, here's what I did. I gave him 1,000 pills, and he might have sold them to somebody else. We don't know. It's an exceptional amount of pills that Alec Murdoch claimed he took. And in the Rivers and Roberts.
Roberts, yes. We also, that was number six, but we can just go ahead and hit him now. Is that he also has pending charges for receiving money linked to Alec Murdoch. So he was charged alongside as well.
And so Rivers and Roberts, when they were in court months and months ago, Creighton Waters was there and said there's this stream running from Alec Murdoch to Cousin Eddie to Rivers and Roberts and back, who he was claiming at the time, Walterboro Cowboys. And there was a stream of drugs, but it didn't seem to really go anywhere other than the fact that he's going to plead guilty, and I think he went into rehab, I believe. But
it was disappointing to me, not because he pled. You know, I think he needs to do what's right. But I was hoping in Rivers' case that we would maybe hear a little bit more details about what this connection was. But I don't think we will get that opportunity now that there's a plea deal, but maybe with Spencer Roberts, who knows?
Gotcha. So we got the feds and state financial crime situations.
Right. So Murdoch was sentenced to 22 financial crimes by the federal government, and he pled guilty. Yet that's yet to be scheduled about how long he will serve for the federal crime, but he's in state prison now. So
for 25, 27 years, whatever. He's going to be out at 77 or something.
Well, for the financial crimes, but he's still convicted of double murder.
Yeah, right.
That's no parole.
That's the life thing he's got going on there, yeah.
So then we have disgraced banker Russell Lafitte has yet to face trial for his state charges. This has not been scheduled yet, but his lawyer is a lawyer legislator, and they're not required to appear in court while legislature is in session. So that hasn't been scheduled yet, and he also has a pending appeal for his federal conviction. Now, this is, if you recall, there was two jurors who were dismissed at the last minute. One had to take some medicine, and the other one had an anxiety situation. This was right before the Thanksgiving holiday, and these jurors had deliberated for 9 hours. And once these two jurors were dismissed, they came back with the verdict in an hour. So they are appealing that.
Right. We haven't heard much at all from Cousin Eddie, or Curtis Smith, as his real name is.
Yes, so he is still facing charges for selling Alec Murdoch drugs and helping him launder money. I believe also that whole Labor Day scheme.
Murder, suicide, for
right, that we don't know. Yeah. And nothing has been scheduled yet, but he did request a speedy trial 2 years ago.
And last we had seen Eddie, he was suffering from some health issues. So I don't know where that all stands.
I believe he is out on bond.
Yeah.
Then we have Corey Fleming. He is Alec's attorney buddy, and he is appealing the length of his sentence for the state charges. Now, remember, he pleaded. He pled guilty, and then he was ordered by Judge Newman for 10 years, and he'd only received 46 months in federal prison. So he's appealing the length of that sentence.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We still don't know about, you mentioned, I'm going to go back to Cousin Eddie for just for a second, because also Alec Murdoch has something, perhaps charges for the 2021 Labor Day scheme too.
Oh, no, I have that. That's,
yeah, okay.
that's
both of them.
Oh, did I not put that?
Okay, no, yes. Got it.
Yes, I mean, Alec Murdoch is also facing charges, but
doesn't
again,
matter.
Doesn't matter at this point, but you know, this was the whole Labor Day scheme where he claims that he asked Cousin Eddie to kill him so that he could collect the money, his insurance money, to give to his son, Buster.
Buster, yes. Buster, we get it. Yes, so there you go. What else do we have?
Lyler sisters, who are represented by Eric Bland, have some pending civil litigation in Hampton County against Alec Murdoch and Russell Lafitte.
Now, we have some Murdoch-adjacent stuff as well.
Right. Now, this is not, I mean, it's not technically Murdoch because he's not a named party in this suit, but we have this outrage lawsuit that was filed by Mark Tinsley on behalf of the Beach family against Parkers for emotional distress. And this is relating these leaked mediation documents. I guess in these mediation documents, there were some pictures of Mallory Beach after she was found. And Tinsley is contending that these, you know, have caused, by them being out in the public realm, have caused the family lots of distress. Now, Parkers has kind of shot back and said, hey, I think you also may have released some of these same type pictures and such. So we're going to have to see what happens with this. I think the discovery is going to be pretty interesting. But the lawyers for Parkers are trying to stay the judge from fast-tracking this case.
Judge Bentley Price is the judge's name, and Fitch reports that Tinsley, in their quote, has been very successful in his appearances in front of Price. In other words, they're implying that Price is friendly toward Tinsley.
Right.
And Parkers is saying, well, then I don't, you know, if Price is going to be gone, if he's going to not do another term.
Well, what's interesting is Judge Bentley Price has been deemed unqualified by the State Judiciary Council.
Yeah.
I don't know for what reason. So what Parker's team is saying is, hey, we need to Why are we now fast tracking this case when nothing has really happened for 2 years? It's complex litigation. You want to fast track this case because this judge who is, I mean, they don't say that this judge who is potentially favorable to Tinsley.
That's what it is all about, but kind of.
I don't know. They're saying that, why are we now fast tracking this case?
It appears.
In front of a judge who's been deemed unqualified.
Yes, it appears as they don't want to be in front of Price and Tinsley wants to be in front of Price. That's what it appears to be. Those are the optics.
Okay. Those are the optics. So we'll see what happens with that.
Let's talk about one of our sponsors. It is Factor. You can eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals.
Every fresh meal is never frozen and it is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, and they are ready in just 2 minutes.
Where did you have chili the other day?
Delicious.
And if you want gourmet meals, you can try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, asparagus. So head to factormeals.com/impact50 and use code impact50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box.
That code's impact50 at factormeals.com/impact50 to get 50% off your first box and 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Impact 50 at factormeals.com/impact50 to get 50% off your first box and 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. But now we have another case filed by Mark Tinsley. He has a client named Austin Stanley, and he's filing suit against Fitz News and Will Folks. And in this claim, he's alleging defamation and negligence.
Here's what happens. It states that on, and I'm going to grab it, the actual words right
pleading.
Here out of the plea here. On or about April 1st, 2023, the defendants published an article identifying people that Fitz News contended were somehow involved in the murder of Stephen Smith, a 19-year-old gay man who was found dead in the middle of Sandy Run Road in Crockettville, South Carolina, July 8th, 2015. I still don't know why they had to say gay man in there, but okay. In the article accompanying video, defendants published a photograph of two people defendants claimed were prime suspects in the murder of Stephen Smith. The photographic individual on the right-hand side of the photo is Stanley, the plaintiff in this case, who had absolutely nothing to do with the death of Stephen Smith, who has never been a suspect or person of interest in the death of Stephen Smith, and has never been linked to the death of Smith other than falsely by the defendants and their agents. That is what the filing states. Fitz News obviously put the wrong picture up.
Yeah, and in the picture you see it says prime suspects. Obviously that, you know, that was inaccurate, you know, and Fitz, I guess, at some point received some sort of message from the mother saying, hey, this is not my son, and they acknowledge it, they take it down. And then inadvertently again, they link it to another YouTube video that Fitz had put out. I think these were honest mistakes. This is a lot of volume. But what's interesting now, it has come out on social media that there was another YouTuber who used this exact same photo. And I believe the photo came from Instagram and was on one of the prime suspects' Instagram page. And possibly both this other YouTuber and Fitz thought that it was a picture of one of the prime suspects.
Okay, so the prime suspect had might be a buddy of him or something.
Right.
Had a picture of this dude. Who had nothing to do with it.
On social media.
And so that picture started circulating. And then Fitz News and Will Folks admitted that they messed up. But then it appeared again.
Yeah, no, they were on Twitter. And on Twitter, let's see what they said.
They say, hardly anyone takes accountability anymore or admits their mistakes. An honest mistake was made here, and we apologize and did our best to correct it, but we will have to live with the consequences. Thanks to, and then he said, you know, Will wrote thanks to @MarkTinsley, @TheEricBland for holding us accountable.
Yeah, because Eric Bland, who's not an attorney involved in this, was kind of praising Will Folks or praising Mark Tinsley for holding Will Folks accountable. In his, there appear to be no love lost between these two.
There's a battle.
He said
those
talks
two.
About Will Folks, you know, attacks and mocks everybody every day. You know, in this pleading as well, they're critical of. Mark Tinsley is critical of Fitz News. They mentions that they failed to establish any proofreaders or copy editors. they didn't properly train their agents. They are pandering to lurid curiosity. They talk about clicks and that sort of thing. They're obviously not flattering to Fitz News.
Right. And
but Will Foulkes, I think, you know, admitted, took responsibility. And with this volume of information, it is easy to make a mistake. Not that if you were that person who
had
the picture of you out there with prime suspect under your photo, you might not like that.
Right. I don't know the legalese, but I know that it's not the first time there's been mistakes made by media on a picture or a name or something like that, for sure. Even major national news outlets have made mistakes in the past. What that means legally, I don't know, but it's interesting if it was also by another YouTuber using the same picture, they're only suing Fitz News. That's interesting.
Right. I don't know if maybe this, I think this information just came to light, so maybe this other YouTuber will be also in some trouble for using that same photo.
Gotcha. All right. So we are going to move, are we moving to the distribution of money?
We are. So we'll just hit the highlights.
This is Alex money, which was $2.44 million down to $1.75 million because they have to pay the co-receivers, who are the attorneys who were appointed by the court to take care of these funds.
So just, there are some people who received zero. I think the most money was received by Renee Beach as a personal representative for the estate of Mallory Beach. She received 29%. Morgan and Miley also received a small amount.
And then the Arthur Badger.
Yes, he received 24%. He is the man whose wife was tragically killed in an auto accident, leaving behind six kids.
Mm.
And Alex stole his money.
Yeah, he stole from a lot of people. Eric Bland's clients, Alania Spohn, Hannah Plyler, and the Satterfield two young men, got 0%.
Right. Let's talk about Eric's response to that in a second, but just before we move on to that, PMPD received 14%, and I've seen some outrage on social media about this. They are victims, but I believe a percentage of that amount is going to be going to unpaid victims, possibly represented by Justin Bamberg.
Yeah.
And another one that was controversial was Johnny Parker, received 15% for unpaid personal loans. But
one of his former law partners.
But Randy Murdoch, his brother, did not receive anything either.
Mm-hmm.
But let's read what Eric Bland had to say about that.
Yesterday, the court-appointed special referee was charged by the court to distribute the approximate $1.9 million of funds received by the receivers. Awarded the Satterfield $0 for those funds, despite having a $4.3 million judgment against Alec Murdoch, which was first upheld by Judge Bentley Price in August 2023. Hey, didn't we just mention Bentley Price?
Yeah.
I just thought about that.
I know. There's so many connections to you. And, I didn't mention earlier when we were talking about the Parker's litigation that one of the lawyers on Parker's team is Debbie Barbier, and she is the attorney who represents Corey Fleming.
There we go.
There's a lot of connections.
So he continues to say, Alec Murdoch, which was first upheld by Judge Bentley Price in August 2023, which Murdoch dismissed his appeal to try and reverse. Fair, just, and equitable? I don't think so. So as of today, the Satterfields have recovered over $7.5 million from five or so sources or parties and individuals other than Alec Murdoch. To date, Alec Murdoch has paid $0 for the approximate $3.5 million stolen from the Satterfields. Banks, law firms, Corey Fleming, and Chad Westendorf have all paid money to the Satterfields. I can't begin to tell you how disappointed my clients feel about yesterday's ruling. Yes, the tort victims of the boat crash should have received the lion's share of the funds from what was recovered, but certainly the Satterfields should not have been blanked. We will continue to search for other assets to apply to this judgment, which is good for 10 years. They didn't get it directly from Alec Murdoch, but they received $7.5 million.
They have received $7.5 million. I think
you only have
his
so much.
Problem. There's only so much of the egg. There's only a little bit of money. So some of these people maybe have not received. So maybe that was what went into the decision by the co-receivers.
And Arthur Badger.
Eric Bland's point is he had this confession of judgment, and my clients have not received a dime from Alec Murdoch.
From Alec Murdoch, right. But it's not like Alec Murdoch's keeping it.
No, he's right. not keeping it, and there's only a limited amount unless, you know,
right.
unless there's money hidden somewhere, you said which the beach is possible. Is,
and the boat people were good, so that's 44, 45, something like 45%, something like that. I'm doing the math real quick. Went to Beach, Altman, Dowdy. And so, I don't know, and I don't think he could argue that. Arthur Badger getting money, mm-hmm. so that's another 24, so I'm not sure who he... I mean, I get it. He's fighting for his client. I get it. He's fighting for his client, but I'm not sure who he would want to not get it.
Not PMPD, which they're victims under the guise of the law.
And they're dishing it out to, from what we understand, to some of the
I think they have
clients.
Made most of the clients whole.
So
you know, I don't know. They're, you know, you can make arguments on both sides.
Let's move to Jersey. Dun, dun, dun!
Okay, so... I reached out to this man named Lucas Pierce, who says that he is Jersey's ex-husband. I actually reached out to him back on December 3rd after a listener tip, and he didn't respond, but I reached out to him again this week on Messenger, and he did respond. He says he didn't want to go on, he can't go on the media at the moment because the investigations and but he has agreed to answer a few questions.
I wonder what the investigations are he's talking about, because it seems to... I mean, other than maybe investigating Becky Hill, because
probably, I mean,
that's all that there is to investigate at this point.
I think
point.
Becky Hill and also I don't know.
Right.
He just said that. He said that he has been contacted by
a
lot of media.
I'm sure.
He said that Jersey had been talking openly with several people. During the trial. And he reported that to SLED agent Owen and Becky Hill before making numerous reports on Facebook, which he says these comments were deleted and reported.
So if he, during the trial, said Jersey was if this is true, we have no way to know, if Jersey was talking to people about the case, and he told Becky Hill, and he told Agent Owen, I'm sure Alec's team would be like, well, why did nothing come of this? But something came of.
Well, they mentioned this. The defense mentions this in one of their filings, that it appears when these allegations came to light about the egg juror, who was purportedly favorable to the defense, these were really investigated vigorously. But they were not investigated. When this tip came through, there didn't appear to be any sort of investigation. Hmm. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what they
right. And he said he did, 20 posts. Live videos threatened and reported. Did he say he was contacted by anybody?
No, he says he has not been contacted by law enforcement. He was only contacted when he personally contacted SLED.
So he contacted, but
he contacted SLED, okay. But he has not been contacted.
And Murdoch's attorneys not contacted.
He
him?
Has not been in touch with Murdoch's attorney. No, I asked him about his ex-wife's new car. He did say that she came across the money, but he does not know where.
Could be a million different ways. He's trying to imply something there, but we won't touch it. And then a little paparazzi gossip.
Oh, yeah. I thought this was interesting. I personally am a huge South Carolina women's basketball fan. And number one in the country. And I had attended the game last Sunday. And Judge Newman and Justice Toll were also at the game and they sat together for a period of time.
Wonder
what they were talking about.
Yeah, I wonder what they were talking about. What's going on with you? Nothing. What you been up to lately? I don't know.
And I had heard before that right before the evidentiary hearing the night before, Justice Toll had traveled to go see the South Carolina women's basketball game and came back.
When they were playing LSU, I think.
Yeah,
right?
They were playing LSU. She came back to hear the hearing.
I hard fan. So... yeah, that'd be interesting. What were they talking about? Hey, what you been up to? Oh, not much. Well, again, we're grateful that you're hanging with us on to other stories, and including one on the Susan Smith story. It was the woman in South Carolina who put her two small children in a car and then drowned them in a lake and then tried to blame it on this mystery carjacking. We'll talk to the man who was the prosecutor in that case coming up soon. We've got some other case we're working on, too. feel free to feed us cases that you think we should dig into. We've gotten a lot of those and we're starting to work on it. And the best way to do that is Impact of Influence on Facebook. Leave us a message and check out the YouTube channel. You can find out through there. Please rate and share and comment and all that good stuff. We'd really, really appreciate it if you keep on hanging with us. Always grateful. And we'll talk soon, friend.
True terrors of horror, bizarre happenings, unexplainable events. On our podcast, Disturbed, terror takes center stage. Each episode is a journey into the darkest corners of human existence, delving into bone-chilling tales of kidnappings, serial killers, maniacs, and the very essence of your worst nightmares coming to life on this weekly true horror show. Disturbed is not for the faint of heart. It's an exploration of real, unadulterated horror sourced from everyday people. Each episode is a descent into the macabre, where we narrate stories that will leave you on the edge of your seat and crawling in your skin. We navigate the disturbing narratives that lurk in the shadows, offering a raw and unfiltered listen into the most terrifying aspects of the human experience. Enter at your own risk and let the unsettling tales unfold in the haunting realm of Disturbed. And remember, listeners, stay safe out there.
The truth about the Haditha massacre has been covered up, but not anymore.
I know you know what happened.
They went into houses and killed women and children.
What are you thinking?
What a mess.
U.S. Marines murdered innocent civilians in cold blood.
And at the center of it all
is 25-year-old Sergeant Frank Wooderich.
And me. Murder in House 2. A new podcast from Crowd Network.